Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here this morning. If you are a visitor, please know that you are an honored guest. We'd ask if you would please take one of the little white cards out of the pew in front of you and give us a name and an address so we might have a record of your attendance. If you will, take your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read about four verses there in a moment. Galatians chapter 1. You know, the Apostle Paul here in Galatians chapter 1 warned the Galatians that there were false gospels. So look at Galatians chapter 1. Let's start reading in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye received, let him be accursed. Now, most of us know that today there are many false gospels being proclaimed. You can turn the TV on and find everybody speaking something different. You can get on the radio. Sometimes you can find a gospel broadcasting station, and it's totally different. But today there are still false prophets, many of them peddling to the masses great swelling, great promises, but unable to deliver. In Jude, verse 16, not wanting to work here. There are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. And then we can see in verse 18 how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. Now, one of the false gospels that I want to speak about today is called the prosperity gospel. You ever heard of it? If you're not prosperous, it's because you're not trusting God enough. Kenneth Copeland. Most of you probably heard that man on the TV. You're not supposed to live in lack. You're supposed to live in abundance. A man by the name of T.D. Jakes. God wants you to be healthy and wealthy. By Paula White. Poverty is a curse, and it has no place in the life of a believer. Benny Hinn. It's time for you to get rid of poverty once and for all. God's will is for you to be rich and live in prosperity. Rod Parsley. Now, this false gospel, the gospel of prosperity, preys on the vulnerability of people. I don't know how many times, and I'm speaking of this because of my experience with my father-in-law. He was a good man. I'm not trying to say that he wasn't. But I don't know how much money he sent to some of these TV evangelists because they promised something. This false gospel preys on the vulnerability of people. So this morning, I want to help arm you with some of the hushed truths about faith that the purveyors of this false gospel would never tell you. Now, the first thing I want to look at is Job. Now, we all know the man Job. He was basically very wealthy. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. But then we see that Satan was going back and forth, and the Lord asked him, "Satan, what are you doing here?" "I'm just going back and forth on the earth." You know what the question was that the Lord asked Satan? Here's a paraphrase, okay? "Hey, Satan, as you're going back and forth, crossing the earth and going to and fro, have you noticed my servant Job?" Well, Satan, and I'm just, again, this is me. I bet Satan was foaming at the mouth to get his hands on Job. Because what was the accusation that Satan made to God? "Well, God, you know, you've got this hedge around him. You're protecting him. I bet you that if you take that away, he's going to what? He's going to curse you. He's going to forget about you." Was Job unhappy? Well, kind of. He was unhappy that he was ever born after all of the calamities had come upon him. In Job chapter 1 and verse 20, he basically fell down and said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." Now, in this gospel of prosperity that the purveyors of that gospel, they are failing to say that there were many faithful, righteous people in the Bible that were dirt poor. Am I right? Yeah, I mean, I agree. Job was very wealthy, but then he lost everything, but he still did not turn his back on God. We can see here in Jude chapter 1 and verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" That was Job. The lesson that we need to learn concerning Job and this purveying of the prosperous gospel was the fact that even when Job lost everything, he remained faithful. Now let's take it a step farther. What about Jesus? Did you ever really stop and think about Jesus? Jesus was literally poor, wasn't he? Now his earthly father, all right, he was a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter by trade. But yet when he started his ministry, he didn't do any carpentry that we know of. But Jesus was very poor. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 20, and Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Jesus did not have a home. What do you think about that? Was Jesus' faith in error? Did Jesus lose his faith because of his being poor? We can read in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 12, you can read there that there were people that were so poor that they could not even offer a lamb in sacrifice. Specifically, in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, speaking of an unclean woman being so poor that she could not even offer a lamb for her cleansing. But there was a way made for her. Two turtles, two young doves or pigeons. Jesus himself preached from borrowed boats. He multiplied borrowed food. Remember feeding 5,000? He rode on a borrowed colt. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Now, these, quote, individuals coming out with the prosperity gospel that God wants you to be wealthy and healthy and wise. Well, what was Jesus' problem? If that's really what God wants for each and every Christian that's ever walked the face of this earth, then what was Jesus' problem? Well, first of all, he wasn't a Christian. But the point is, Jesus was poor. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Jesus was a man of sorrows. This message of wealth and happiness is not consistent with the life of Jesus, whose faith was not flawed. If God wants every Christian to be wealthy, then why did he allow Satan to take all that Job had, even his children? Why did Jesus live in poverty? Why did he have to rely on other people's stuff to get by every day? Luke chapter 18 and verse 22. But when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, for those purveyors of this prosperous gospel, then why did Jesus have this rich ruler go and sell everything that he owned and give it away? Now, we know that the young ruler was sad and turned away and left because he had great wealth. If the prosperity gospel is actually true, then why did Jesus have this man sell everything that he had and come follow him who did not even have a place to lay his head? Paul. Let's look at the Apostle Paul here for a few moments. If you will, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to start reading about verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and bitterness. Besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now, if God wanted Christians to be prosperous, wealthy, and that, you know, if you're not wealthy, if you're not prosperous, then you just don't have the faith that you need. That's what they're proclaiming. Then what about Paul? Before Paul became a Christian, what was he? You remember? He was a Pharisee. Not only that, he was a Pharisee among the Pharisees. He was up and coming. He probably could have been very wealthy. But yet, he gave it up. And he even had to work with his hands to help support himself. Remember, he was a what? A tent maker? So was Paul's faith deficient? Even though he went through all of these things, all of the perils that he faced? Was his faith deficient? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, not only did all these things happen to me, but I received a thorn in the flesh. Something that caused him problems. And he even asked God to remove it. And we know what happened. Verse 10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities or want, persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong. Again, if God wants Christians to be prosperous. Now, I'm not saying that you cannot be. I'm not saying that you might become wealthy. But that's not what God truly has in mind for you. Consider what we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 that Brother Mike read a little bit ago. Consider the list. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. These people, many of them were destitute, afflicted, and tormented, and killed. Take your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to read verse starting in verse 35. Hebrews 11, verse 35. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, when slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, poor. Wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. Then look at verses 38 and 39. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves in the earth, of the earth. And these all of these destitute, all of these that were hounded, died in want, in need, wandering in the desert, didn't even have proper clothing, went around in goat skins. And all these having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. These people were destitute. They were afflicted and killed. Were they deficient in faith? Was their faith lacking? That's why they were so destitute. That's why they were put to death. Because they didn't have enough faith. So let's answer a few questions. Why does God deliver some? Why do some become wealthy and others do not? Why does God deliver some and make some wealthy and others he leaves to struggle, to live in poverty? You know what the reason is? Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherd of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Why does God leave some wealthy and some poor? Because God is sovereign. Who are we to question the Creator? Who are we to question what God does? We're the created. It'd be like the pot that's being made asked the maker, "What are you doing?" Being delivered and suffering are both avenues through which God can be glorified. Am I right? Being both wealthy and poor are both avenues through which God can be glorified. But doesn't God want me to be happy? Well, yeah. But you know what's more important? Do you really know what the primary goal of God is? Because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God wants you to be holy. That's more important than being rich or poor. Being holy is more important than truly being happy. Psalms 30 and verse 5, "For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night." We may struggle for a time, but joy cometh in the morning. So what should we do if we're poor? What should we do if we're suffering? What should we do if we are sick? Should we not trust and praise God? Should we not defend God? Write this verse down, Psalms 145, verse 17. And learn what this verse says. "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works." We need to show others that our faith is not dependent on our circumstances. We should show our faith that our faith is not dependent whether God has blessed us with wealth or if we're living in poverty. All of those that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, yes, there were some that were wealthy. David was a king. But his life was miserable because of the sin of he had with Bathsheba. Let our physical weakness make us spiritually strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ and him crucified, it makes no difference if we're rich or poor. It is our faith that's important, not our wealth or our poverty. Let's teach people the truth. Becoming a Christian gives no guarantee that one's problems will go away. Do you understand that there are many people who become Christians thinking that as soon as they are baptized and have all their sins washed away, that all of their problems are gone? Brothers and sisters, that does not happen. But we do have a different outlook, do we not? Becoming a Christian gives no guarantee that one's problems will go away. In fact, they may even become greater. But what it does is it does guarantee us joy in the morning. Again, Proverbs 30 and verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Being faithful until death is what we as Christians must be. Because if we are faithful until death, then we will receive the crown of life. Whether we're rich or whether we're poor, it's our faith that matters, not our pocketbook or the lack thereof. The invitation is given. If you're here this morning and not a Christian and you wish to be baptized and have your sins washed away, please do not think that it's going to make all of your problems disappear. But what it is going to do is save your soul. Or if you're here and you're already a child of God and you're struggling and need prayer for whatever reason, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Bring Christ your broken love, so